Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday.
Okay.
The remarkable thing is that we really do love our neighbor as ourselves. We do unto others as we do unto ourselves. We hate others when we hate ourselves. We're tolerant toward others when we tolerate ourselves. We forgive others when we forgive ourselves. We're taught to believe that being strict with oneself is the way to be a good person. Because the belief that there's something wrong with us, that we must be watched carefully and punished regularly to be good, is so deep, we believe being hard on ourselves is the right person thing to do. Of course, quite the opposite is true. Today, recognize some of the places you're conditioned to withhold love, tolerance, and understanding from yourself, and see how offering those to yourself would change not only your relationship with you, but with the world.
Mm. Well, I wonder what everyone saw, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our first caller to let us know. You're
right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Christine.
Hey, Christine.
Oh, hello, Christine.
Hi. Let's see. So, what I'm seeing lately is that that ego wants to ask life for. This might not be exactly what the quote was talking about, but. It could be though also, but ego wants to ask life, you know, these big questions about what do I do about this or what do I do about that. And what I've noticed is the way life works is in smaller increments. It would say we talk about it all the time. It just drops in one little thing. And I do that, and that's the path to where I'm going. I mean, that's the next thing to do. So I guess I just see that it's just ego that wants the whole plan laid out, all secure and you know, all comfortable and secure, and that's just not necessary, which is.
Right.
Great.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I would add something to that. First of all, I think you're absolutely right on track. And ego would say nice and comfortable. But actually what it's going for is, number one, not to be here, not to, as you say, be with life as it drops in the incremental little next step. Okay. Mm-hmm. But to have a big picture that it can then say, well, this isn't that, what you're doing now is not in line with that. Well, they shouldn't. That's the real reason to have a big picture laid out there, right? To have something to gripe about, which is what ego wants to be doing all the time. So the second piece of that to me is that there's an assumption that there is a big picture that has nothing to do with the moment.
Yeah.
And we don't know that, do we? So if you are following each one of those incremental steps, so you're just living right here in the present, whatever life drops in, here you are for it, I would guess, project, knowing nothing about this, okay, that's going to take you to a very different experience than if you are lost in ego in a big conversation about, well, I want this and what about that and I don't know. Those are really different paths, aren't they?
Yes, it feels like night and day, just like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the person who's completely lost in conditioning and following the voices around with that are a person who's being told, but I just want to know this so that I know I'm doing the right thing, so that I'll be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That person is actually never going to recognize paradise, no matter how perfectly life presents it.
Yeah, because it's looking, that person's looking at conditioning. It's looking the wrong way. I mean, it's experiencing.
Exactly.
The attention is on it and not this amazing potential, amazing life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this paradise that we're actually already living in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
So, yes, it is. And there's this, I've wanted to call in the past because there's this pull to figure out this problem. And so I just wanted to call about,
having seen through that.
Yeah, that's not exactly necessary. Actually, I'm following, each little step.
Yeah.
And it's going along great in each little step.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that conditioned assumption, the ego place that we're all meant to fall into, is that if content is right, then I'll be happy. But what we're realizing is it's losing interest in content that allows us to be happy.
Yeah. And it can be difficult with, you've said it before, with big things, money and career and the kids and
health,
my relationship.
Yeah,
it really grip us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can't just be happy with whatever is under those circumstances. I mean, that's just irresponsible.
Yeah, I really need to continue to try to control something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to, I know. Yeah.
Right. Well, yes, we're playing with that that realization of what we hear in our heads versus what we know in our hearts.
Yeah.
Right? And when we look at it, to me, the beauty of something like we're doing here is that when we can step back and look at it as a process, not trying to get to clarity in the midst of what ego is doing to us. So we disidentify, we step back, and we look at it, and we can see, well, yeah, that's really obvious, that just being here moment by moment is taking me where life is guiding me, and not paying attention to where I am in each moment is never going to take me to where life is guiding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank
All right.
you. Thank you
well,
very
you
much.
Well, you are so very welcome.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Christine. That's so true. It's never the content, it's always the process. And if we know that we're in the process of listening to conditioned mind, then we have a very different experience than when we're in the process of life, and making that switch becomes the practice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And being present enough to realize that making the switch is what makes us happy clarifies everything for us. Now, at that point, then we really are just repeating an experience we know we've had. Before that, we're kind of, fumbling around, not knowing exactly which one it is. Now.
All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Okay. Hi. Hey. Well, I enjoyed looking at this, and I had some kind of little specifics, little practice opportunities to work with yesterday, and just little mind states that would come up during the day. Oh, actually, it had been going on for a few days. that I don't know, it's not something that I commonly am aware of, but I've certainly been aware of it through my life, and it was these little episodes of, I would call it maybe impatience or intolerance, or it would just spring forth, and I was just so aware of it. And, you know, none of it had to be acted on or anything, but just I could just feel the energy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And where I went with the quote was to a place of just curiosity about it, like, you know, like, gosh, curiosity, and then having the compassion to not judge, you know, and having mm-hmm. that to not judge it, because when I really looked, I thought, well, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons things are squeaking out in different ways than what I'm used to right now. And, you know, and that this is just, you know, this is, this was just kind of, I mean, it seemed appropriate and not
yes,
appropriate
well,
the situation.
And it's the opportunity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the opportunity, and to just see it and just, to just let it be there, and it would just, I mean, it would spring forth in an instant. It didn't seem like there was any lead up or anything. And then it would just, it's like, oh, look, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And what is, you know, and then it would dissipate just as quickly. It would just be like
yes.
these little,
yes.
like, you know, just watching it come in to awareness and watching it,
yes.
you know, and it's, I remember, I don't get those anymore, but it was like on the computer screen back in the day when you would have that little message come in from the side, some little annoying message that would appear without an invitation on your computer screen, and then it would slide off to the side again and go away. That's what it felt like.
Uh-huh.
Like these little things coming in and out of awareness. And
yes. And so I would offer you this. What you're getting a chance to see is how karma works and how we roll back karma. So in that way, that process that you describe is happening all the time. It's happening all the time to everybody. But we're not meant to be there for it. And so what's meant to happen is this seemingly completely random thing drops in, and then conditioned mind starts making connections. And
yeah.
so there's that first one, and then it connects up to another one, then connects up to another one, then connects up to another one, connects up to another one very quickly, right? Very, very, very quickly. And before long, you are in some sort of a state. I am, anybody is. that's how. And having no idea how we got there. But the way we
yeah.
got there is that how we find ourselves currently was being orchestrated behind the scenes in this kind of free association or leap. It's not free association. It's a leapfrogging kind of thing, right? There's that and that, that and that and that. And karma is putting together the habitual pieces that go together to create this orientation to life. And so you're seeing it at the very first impulse drop in, and you're dropping it, which is how we dissolve karma.
Yeah. There's almost a sense of it doesn't have to be dropped. It's almost a sense of it's just there. And I'm like, and I see it. It's just like on the computer screen. It's just like, oh, it's just so strange. It doesn't even feel like a choice. It feels more like there's that. I see it. There's definitely just the observing of it.
That's right.
And,
that's the choice point.
Yeah,
that's
I guess that is the choice
point. Yes.
Yeah.
If you weren't practicing, then what would happen is that little thing that slid in would distract you.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
you would be distracted, And then you would let it, well, you wouldn't let it. It's just a habit for it to build into a thing. And so when we're here, when we're present, as you say, we see it come in, and the experience of it is exactly as you described. It's random. It's like, where did that come from? But in the world of karma, it, in quotes, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
When we're here, we see it as slightly bizarre. If we are practicing, we turn our attention away from it. But it's just, I mean, we don't have to reject it or scream or push it away. It's just, and we bring our attention back here, and that whole system doesn't have a chance to build.
Yeah. Well, and there was definitely that piece of it, and also the piece of, you know, like if I was going to see this, I mean, I wouldn't see the process in another person, but say somebody was impatient. In the same way that this happened with me, so it's just, it wasn't personal, it didn't have anything to do with anything, it just random, then, and I wouldn't be unkind to another person experiencing that. I mean, there's nothing I would need to do, but I don't have to go into a big thing about that person. And I don't have to go into a big thing about this person, and you know, it just really did feel like a kindness. So I guess if I was going to sum it all up, I would say that quote took me to a place of questioning and inquiry and just looking, and it was fun. It was just fun
to connect it back to what we talked about before as the opportunity. The reason that ego wants us to stay in familiar circumstances is because we will stay asleep. It's much easier for ego to keep us asleep when there's nothing in particular that requires us to be present. When our life circumstances change and we are more here, because we have to be, then that's the opportunity to see this kind of level of practice.
Well then I have a really big opportunity, and I have
you have a really big opportunity. That is exactly right.
Thank you.
Okay. Remember to treasure yourself.
Okay. Thank
All
you.
All right. Good.
Okay. Goodbye.
Thanks, Karen. It's so wonderful when we get to that stage of practice, right, Sherry, that it's intriguing as to our ability to pay attention and notice how awareness works and how karma works and just be the witness to all of it.
Right, instead of the magic words that Karen used, not taking it personally. Instead of taking it personally, we get to that place of, wow, it's really interesting to see how all this stuff works. So much more interesting than making me the center of the universe.
And suffering as a consequence.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Lori in Asheville.
Hey, Lori. Good to hear your voice again so soon.
I know. That's what I was thinking as well. And, again, so much gratitude for that amazing, amazing retreat. Wow. I was just, you know, as I was hearing that previous conversation and what occurs to me about this whole thing about almost – It does feel almost like life and death at times to get free from any kind of conditioned interference. It's the life and death of my spirit almost, and of awareness that when the condition, the ego, all that, the ideas and the content and the sensation and the emotion takes over, then it does almost seem like, wow, here I go down the road that could lead to death. I mean, it almost seems that.
Yes.
Strong and apparent.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I would say so. And you, when you use the word spirit, it's the feeling that, that life force, right, that's animating you, and what that's like when you're here and present with it, and then it does feel like death to go off into these other places and lose touch with that. Now, do we lose touch with it? No. Well, no, it's still animating us, but we don't know it.
Yeah, that's it. There's the awareness has sort of disappeared or something, just lost consciousness almost.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there's
the suffering.
There is the suffering, and with this quote, and then with something that's been occurring for me that has to do with and just with some clients I was talking with. It's I love it when all this sort of connects to my life, my work life as well. And any time that there's thought, with a critical thought, and it could be internal about something that quote I did or about someone else, is such an act of separation. And and then because this quote points to that there is no self and other. I mean, it describes it so clearly for me. There is no self and other. And what I'm doing here is the same thing I'm offering that's emanating from this energy source out into the world. And so in that way, it's like, I really want to pay attention to what's going on here.
Right.
Because the emanation could be anything, and why not just choose love as an emanation and presence? So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And we're
for
so,
you and
we
for
are
everybody.
So connected.
Yeah. Yeah. That there is no self and other. And yet, so and then we get the, it's not one and it's not two, right? It's, well, it's not one. Because there's you and me, right? And I'm not you and you're not me. And yet it's not two because, in fact, we are the same essence. So the image that's often used in Zen for it is, you know, the squash, like a pumpkin or that kind of squash that grows on a vine. And there are the roots and there's the vine growing along. And periodically there's a melon or a squash, right? Well, they're not all the same squash, but they are all the same. They are all the same. They're manifestations of the exact same thing, right?
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So we can sense that you can't cut off the roots to affect this one and not affect the others. So
right.
That sort of sense of our interconnectedness and how everything that happens to everyone, even though we look like we're separate, it seems like we're separate. When we look at the spirit, the essence, what's animating us, it's one.
There's also, just when you were talking about that, there was this image of the root system and how, you know, all the life that's underground, that is, it's amazing. It's astonishing. So underground life that connects everything. And,
yes.
And that to me is an image that's really helpful in what you were just talking about, you know, that there's no separation, no disconnection because, wow, we're all in this fabric. We're all in these tendrils of life and sometimes we can see it literally like with a plant, I think. That was a great example. And then if I imagine going underground and seeing what's happening with all of that life form that is visible, it's sort of underground, but still it's visible. And yet, and the spirit of us, sometimes it's not so visible that how we're all so completely connected. But we are squashes, aren't we? We're vines.
We're little pumpkins on the vine.
We're little pumpkins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Later today, I'm going to write a little newsletter article. I'm hoping, good Lord willing, creek don't rise, about something that I was talking about with Chris and Ashwini at the retreat that we were all on just a few minutes ago, and that's the difference between judgment and discrimination.
Yeah,
and
that's good. I really look forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because that's exactly what we're talking about here. How do we how do we recognize, honor, and cherish that interconnectedness and influence, participate without anything wrong? That's the, to me, that's the
yeah.
that's the yeah. great practice opportunity that we have.
And at the same time, bringing in the discernment, so it's not wrong, and yet there may be some clarity that comes through. There is clarity that comes about, oh, okay, just like what
That's
was
right.
talked about earlier, you know, life minute by minute, incrementally guiding, and that
yes.
that would be the discernment, as I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, my last thing I'd like to say is just to strongly encourage people to do this workshop, the Transcending Fear, and then maybe we'll have to have it, you know, several times this year. If everybody comes,
yeah.
it gets filled up right away, because it's really, I mean, every retreat is so wonderful, but particularly this, it was so extraordinarily helpful and beautiful. So
good.
Thank you both
good.
And
yeah.
everyone
thank
out
you.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lori.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thanks, Lori.
So happy. Mm-hmm. Bye,
Sherry. Sherry, that was an incredible conversation, and I'm going to try to get another caller in, so here we go.
Okay, good. All right, thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hey. So let's see. Wow, it's always just amazing of when life chooses to put you in the or to unmute you.
Right. Yeah, we put ourselves in the queue and life unmutes us. Yeah.
So what I was playing with this quote yesterday is kind of shows up for me in well, how it was showing up for me yesterday was in parenting, that balance between boundaries, being present, versus punishment may be versus discipline, right? That
mm-hmm.
So actually let me backtrack. So one of the places I'm really paying attention to, so I have been watching this process around, there's some things in life content-wise that are very charged, and I am not panicking. And the voices, the conditioning wants to say, I'm burying my head in the sand, or I don't care, or, you know, what kind of cold-hearted, you know, person are you, you know, kind of language that's really harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really watching how it's not that I'm not being present. It's not I can feel the pull. I can feel the sensations in the body that conditioning wants to label as panic or urgent, but that's actually not my experience unless I go into that conversation.
That's right. That's right. And from that disidentified place, it's possible for us to ask, how would it be helpful for me to panic and get hysterical?
Totally.
Who would be helped by me making this situation all about me?
Completely. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. And yet, as you point out, the conditioning is so strong that the caring is measured. Love is measured on the level of hysteria.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been really profound to watch. There has been like a domino of like events happening, just and so seeing it not just with this one piece of content, but then it showed, and then having this experience of not panicking, of really being present, and oh my gosh, recordings, using I Love You recordings, listening to the Trish, I can never say her name right, Trish Rexford Culligan, that I Love You song, or listening to that over and over again, that has, I mean, it's just been amazing.
Right. Yes, because here's the because factor in this, right? Because you want to be as present as you can for every bit of wisdom, love, and compassion that life is going to offer you in any given moment. That's how high the stakes are, right? You need really to be here.
Yeah.
We all do. We all do. We always do. But
yes.
This is that situation where, no, I cannot go unconscious for a second. I can't indulge ego for a second.
Yeah, so I'm just so grateful for practice. And even though I feel like I'm in a state of I don't know, like even saying it, I can feel that the pull wants to take me there, but I'm just really trusting that life is going to take care of, and provide. And it's my job to be open to, available to what it drops in.
Yes, yes. And of course, keeping in mind that it doesn't mean we're always going to get what we want. It's the old, I can't remember who the song was, and probably most people aren't old enough to remember it, but we don't always get what we want, but we always get what we need.
Yeah, and in presence, those two are the same. It's only when I'm identified that would be separate. Am I?
Yes,
right?
Yes. Although in a particular set of circumstances, it might not seem like it.
Got it.
Right?
Yep.
It's oftentimes for us, it's looking back that we realize the power of our life circumstances. And of course, this is dependent upon our level of presence, right? Because as we know, there are people who go through life circumstances, and just come out more angry and bitter with every year. So we are going in the opposite direction of being more present, receiving more clarity, and feeling more gratitude, which requires us to have a larger view of life.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Take care of
yourself. Show's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Thanks,
good.
Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Because that's Laura's probably gone, but Ashwini, I'll talk to you and everybody else, right? So in these kinds of very difficult, challenging circumstances for us, one of the things that ego specializes in is, well, you don't have time to do that. You don't have time to listen to that stuff and to call in and talk. And no, I mean, there's really important stuff that you need to be attending to. And so to show up in those times when ego is doing everything it can to separate us and isolate us is such powerful practice.
Yes, because if our job is to show up and be present, then we want to support ourselves to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There's a way in which if we're not going to show up, we need to do it when there's absolutely nothing going on. We're completely present and at peace and in gratitude. That would be a time that we could miss participation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, we wouldn't want to, but it would be a good time to do it if we needed to.
Well, that's when we can offer it to other people. So we show up all the time when we need it and when we can give.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point.
So we're coming to end of another wonderful show, Sherry. Here's our practice for the practice focus for the day. I learned long ago that those who are the happiest are those who do the most for others. We've probably all encountered martyrs,
They give and give, but the giving is done at such obvious cost to the giver that there's guilt rather than joy in receiving what's given. So how does one find happiness in doing for others? Perhaps the secret is in removing attention from oneself, from ego, and giving that attention to someone else. And perhaps that shift of attention is possible for us when we're fulfilled. When we're fulfilled, we're happy, and it's easy to be generous when we're happy. Today, look to see what gets between you and happiness. Recording, listen.
Well, that's a nice one, huh?
Very, very nice. It's,
because
it's
if we're
so much
looking
of what we've been
see,
talking about today.
Yeah, if we're looking to see what gets between us and happiness, we're right back to where Karen was, huh? We can
mm-hmm.
see it. We don't need to choose it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, very good. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care. Go happy. Treasure yourself. And see you tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.